Pretty compelling comments he made, particularly that he would do what Steve Spurrier is suggesting, which is pay money out of his own pocket to compensate some of the athletes legally within the rules. Yeah. Let's bring in another great Maryland coach, former Maryland basketball coach Gary Williams, who retired in the offseason. We told you yesterday they're naming the court after him. Ceremony December 9th down at Comcast Center. Gary, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know December 9th is a really big day, right?
Yeah, it'll be a very big day.
It's my birthday, man.
Oh, you know.
Emotional.
You know,
it's my birthday, Gary. It's my birthday. Jeez.
Well, that makes it even bigger.
Yes.
You know.
God. Anyway.
Right. So, well, how big? Just tell, you know, tell us your emotions. Just finding out that they're going to name the court after you.
Well, I you know, it's not, you don't go into coaching ever thinking, you know, it's such a hands-on job that you just think day to day all the time, and the years go by, and all of a sudden, you know, you're done coaching. And I never thought I'd get to this point where I'd be, you know, done coaching. But you know, it's a good time for me, and to have an honor like that is a great thing. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and I really appreciate it from the university and the state that they're willing to do something like that.
Gary Williams, our guest. So, Coach, what are you doing right now? I mean, between now and you know, basketball season.
Well, I'm still doing some things with the university. Mm-hmm. Anywhere I can help in there, especially with the athletic department, and then going to be doing some things with Under Armour and probably some type of television. It hasn't been settled yet, but in that area.
Now, is it true that you're a scratch golfer and getting ready to join the Champions Tour?
No, the thing I found out about golf is that it's even harder than I thought it was. In other words, I have more time to play now, but unless you practice the right things, it's just like a bad shooter. You know, if you practice bad habits, you don't get better. You have some days where it's really good, but nothing permanent. So I'm trying to learn how to play kind of again, and hopefully that'll happen.
Well, let's hope so. Anyway, speaking of your role, are you going to have any interaction with Turgeon as far as the day-to-day stuff with the team?
Well, no, I stay away from that. That's Mark's program now, and he's doing a great job. They've signed some really good players. I told Mark anything, you know, in terms of living around here or the area or whatever, I'd be glad to help with. And, you know, any questions that he does have, you know, I'm certainly available. And Mark's, you know, he's a proven coach. I mean, he played for Larry Brown in Kansas, worked with Roy Williams from North Carolina now, and when they were both at Kansas, and been a head coach at a couple places, so he knows what he's doing. I mean, I think every coach, you know, wants to put his stamp on the program, and I'm sure Mark will do that.
Talking with Gary Williams. Gary, I'm just curious, do you have any sense, have you talked to guys that have retired as coaches, that when October rolls around, it's going to be real difficult for you to not be out there drawing up plans?
Yeah, that'll be the toughest part because I personally enjoyed the time you start practice around October 15th up until the first game. That's the best time because that's when you really get to know your team. You find out, you know, what type of attitude you have as a team, and you can tell as you go along that period how good you're going to be, basically, because the work ethic has to be there. In other words, the basketball, the X's and O's is very important, but that's when you get a sense of your team in terms of the sacrifices that, you know, that they're going to make for the season.
Gary Williams, our guest. Coach, got to ask about, there's a lot of controversy about Delonte Hill when he came, and we still get, you know, text message emails about his season approaches. Big salary. How do you feel about that? He's got to be getting way more than any assistant ever got under you.
Well, that's not my call, you know. I mean, that's the setup. And believe me, there's a lot of staffs out there now at the ACC level making a lot of money. So it's not that unusual in college basketball. And you know, that's not for me to make a comment about.
Talking with Gary Williams, longtime Maryland coach. They're going to name the court after him coming up in the fall, December 9th. Gary, we were just talking with Randy Edsall about paying players, and there was a study out there by an advocacy group that said that the average Division I football player should be compensated around $125,000. The great one at a program like UT should get $500,000. The average basketball player, D1 basketball player, about $250,000. They said Duke players might be worth $1 million. Do we ever get to a point where they pay players? And can you at all envision a system where potentially schools secede from the NCAA, if you will, and set up their own system and do whatever they want?
Well, that's the pros. In other words, the pros put a value on players and that they pay them whatever they think. The NBA strike is a big part of that. In other words, they've been paying guys averaging 8 points a game, $5 million a year, and the owners don't want to do that anymore. I understand that from the owner's perspective. You pay Kobe Bryant basically whatever you can because he's that talent level, and you judge players, you pay players according to their talent level. Well, that's not college. College, you give everybody a scholarship. Now, if you're good enough to get a scholarship, that means you get a free education. Now, that's not what bothered me toward the end was the fact that these players were generating a tremendous amount of money to universities, and the cost of the scholarship is not completely met. In other words, an athletic scholarship is room, board, books, tuition, and fees. But that doesn't cover transportation to and from the school. That doesn't cover, any incidental cost that might come along. And I definitely feel as part of the scholarship, there should be a stipend for these players. The argument you hear is if you do it for football and basketball, the revenue-producing sports, then you'd have to do it for all the scholarship athletes. Well, the NCAA has enough money just off the men's basketball tournament, for example, and if they ever went to a playoff system in football where they'd have plenty of money to pay players whatever somebody would judge as, if you give $150 to $200 bucks a month to an athlete, that would be great. And the superstars, the guys that the Juan Dixon say, where you could sell thousands of his jerseys after he won a championship, he should get a piece of that because that's his jersey, and there's nothing wrong with giving him a piece of that and making him different from other people. Everybody doesn't have to be the same. I don't think that's the way things work in this country anyway. So there's a lot of things you can do to make it better for the student athlete, and that's what I'd like to see.
So does that mean that you do think that if they're going to pay the players, they'd have to pay all the athletes, male, female, they'd all have to give them this basic stipend?
Well, I don't know. Title IX have to be looked at, if that's the case, there is money to pay all the scholarship athletes, but it has to come. It shouldn't have to come from the schools. The NCAA receives, the money from the NCAA tournament, and that's distributed to the member institutions. I think there's 350 Division I basketball programs right now. The BCS, the football side of things, that money goes directly to the conferences. That does not get to be laundered through the NCAA. That's where that situation is. And if that money became available, then all of a sudden you could afford to pay all athletes.
Gary Williams, our guest. Coach, you guys have always, for a long time, overshadowed the football team. Maryland's known as a basketball school. Any thoughts on the publicity surrounding the football team now with Coach Edsel and the new uniforms? And they've, Under Armour's kind of just, come up with this incredible array of uniforms for them, getting national attention.
Well, I always thought, I coached at Ohio State before Maryland, and obviously you draw 105,000 there for every football game, and you can say football overshadowed Ohio State. Well, the way I looked at it and the way it's gone with Thad Mata there, you can be a national power in basketball. That doesn't hurt. So if Maryland has been a basketball school, there's nothing wrong with football doing great. And I know Randy Edsel pretty well now, and he's doing a great job. And the buzz that was created by those uniforms was just tremendous. It's unbelievable to talk around the country, not just in this area, yeah, but around the country. And that's something that can only help a program. I haven't heard a sports show or anything that hasn't talked about the Maryland football uniforms. So whether you like them or not, that's not the point. The point is it's been great for Maryland football what's happened this past week since they wore those uniforms.
Gary Williams is our guest. Gary, what do you say to people when I look at some of the expansion that's going on in college sports and I see TCU going to the Big East and I say, how are they going to have a cross-country athlete or a baseball player make these flights up to Syracuse or UConn or Boston or whatever? And now they have these conferences that might be expanding, if not all the way across. Let's just say that Texas came to the ACC. Imagine flying out of Austin to go someplace in North Carolina. Is that a good thing for sports that this is what's happening?
Well, it's about money, number one, and it's football driven. Just as the football contracts come up, there's a tremendous amount of money out there. If you saw what the Pac-12, I guess it is now, signed for with ESPN, for example, it's a tremendous amount of money that's available. So that's what's happening right now. And the one thing, it's going to break a lot of rivalries up that used to be. In other words, Nebraska goes into the Big Ten. I mean, that changes everything in that part of the country where Nebraska is in terms of rivalries with, like, Texas and Oklahoma and people like that. So that's part of the scene now. I think you're going to see four mega conferences, anywhere from 16 to 20 teams, and you know that they're going to look at the NCAA and decide where they want to go with that. There's no doubt that things are really changing, and the NCAA has to change. I think that's all part of this.
Gary, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on getting the court named after you.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it. And that's a great day, especially if it's your birthday. So
I can't wait to celebrate it with you, Gary.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
So Gary Williams joining us here on the program.